Okay, Erev Tov, good evening everybody. Good evening, Parashat Behar. Parashat Behar. Vayedaber Hashem el Moshe Behar Sinai le'emor. And God is talking to Moses on the Mount of Sinai and saying what? What is he saying? דבר אל בני ישראל ואמרת עליהם כי תבואו אל הארץ אשר אני נותן לכם ושבת הארץ שבת להשם. Talk to Am Israel, talk to the sons of, Israel, got it? And talk to them, when you come to Eretz Israel, the land that I give you,
will you let her see that
then the land will,
you want the Hebrew?
What's going to happen with the land when you come to Eretz Israel? Veshavta ha'aretz shabbat la'ashem. What does it mean? Veshavta ha'aretz shabbat la'ashem.
You rest the land.
Resting.
Resting. We talked about it in the past. Sure. This is very strange. When you come to the land will rest.
Was it to clean it up?
Didn't do anything yet and already resting.
Well, it says for 6 years.
Where is it? Where? What? I didn't see it.
Number three.
Let's read number three. Now, shesh shanim tizra sadecha v'shesh shanim tizmor karmecha v'asafta et tvuata. 6 years you will do all the work you have to do with the land. And then, on Pasuk 4, what's written? Ubashana shvi'it shabbat shabbaton yiyeh la'aretz shabbat la'ashem. On the seventh year, what's going to happen?
So when is it going to rest again?
I want to understand what's going on here. You come, the land rests, then you work, and then the land rests again, or?
Yeah, because the land gets tired.
No, I'm saying, but what is the first thing you do? Do you start working or you're resting?
No, the first thing you got to do is plan out what you want to do.
Plan on what you do. So what?
For the first 6 years. The first 6 years you till the land.
No,
the
7 years.
So why is the Torah telling us when you come to the land that I'm giving to you and the land will rest? That's the way it starts. And if I want to read it, I understand that I come, the land rests, and then I work 6 years. On the 7 years, the land rests again. Or maybe that's the title. And the Torah then is telling me how it works. When you come to the land, you will work for 6 years. On the seventh year, sounds more reasonable, yeah? More sensible, okay?
Sure, otherwise, you'd come and you would merely eat because you would merely work. You'd do land.
But there is a sentence in the land before. Now.
Yes.
There is a sentence before that say, shall observe a Shabbat rest for Hashem. When you come to the land that I give you, the land shall observe.
That's what I'm asking. Okay.
Okay. That I don't understand.
No, the Shabbat meaning not working, not doing anything.
Okay.
The land for the whole year is going to rest. Rest means that you're not allowed to work the land, and which means eventually that you have a problem. How you're going to keep yourself? Because at that time we're talking about keeping yourself was not going to the shop and sell stuff. It was working the land, and then you lived from what you grow,
from
the products that you produce from the land.
There was no manna then, right? Once they went into the land, right?
Correct.
So the question is, if the Torah, let's make it more simple, if the Torah wants to tell us, which is more logical, that when you come to the land, you will work for 6 years and then the seventh year is going to cease from working, I can understand this. I cannot understand that, first of all, you stop working, you didn't work. So what do you stop working from? So in other words, if I want to understand what's written here, I just don't read the first pasuk. In other words, why do I need the first pasuk? If you're telling me 6 years you're going to work and then in the seventh years you're going to stop working, I understood. So why do you tell me when you come to the land will rest?
Because when you go to buy an apartment,
yes,
you need to know every conditions that has the apartment before buying, before beginning to work on it. And then he say, don't forget that will be a Shabbos, for a rest, 1 year rest for me, for Hashem. But before I begin...
You are getting closer, but still we have a problem. Yeah. Why? Let's say that I read what the Torah said without reading the Pasuk that says that when you come to the land will rest. I just read it like this. Daber el bnei Yisrael v'amarta alehem. Ki tavou el haaretz. When you come to the land that I give you, 6 years you will work and do all the jobs, and then on the 7th year, Shabbat Shabbaton. Did you understand what I want to say?
Yeah.
Any problems?
I don't want to have surprises.
What the Torah is telling you, what surprises? Torah is telling you six years you work, and the 7th year you don't work.
Because this tells in advance.
They're telling you in advance. It's all also telling in advance. They're not yet in Eretz Israel. This is being talked in advance. Kodesh Bocho tells Moshe Rabbeinu, when you come to the Holy Land, you will work for 6 years, and the 7th year is going to be holy to God.
Okay.
What did I say?
Yes.
Holy to God.
Yeah.
And that's where the answer is. What is the Shabbat? Shabbat, what is written? You said, so what is Shabbat?
The rest.
Shabbat, just resting? Shabbat LaHashem. It's for God. Yeah. In other words, there is a question. Rashi asks, "Ma inyan shmita le'ar Sinai?" This is one of the most famous phrases that people use. If you say something that's not connected, you say, "Ma inyan shmita le'ar Sinai?" What does shmita have to do with the Mount of Sinai? So Rashi answers that God wanted to show us, because the Shemitah year is being told to us in a lot of details. And if you see what exactly you do with your vineyard and the field, and you're not allowed to do this, you're not allowed to do this, and all the details are being written. And the Torah is telling you, you say the same way that all the mitzvahs of Shemitah are being written in the Torah are being said from the Mount of Sinai, the same way is with all the other mitzvahs. In other words, all the mitzvahs that are being told to us are from Sinai. Even those that the Torah is not mentioning. For example, if we're looking in the Torah, how to put a mezuzah, how to do tefillin, how to make tzitzis. It's not all the details are there. So who teaches us the details?
No,
the Torah Shebaal Peh. Now you can think the Torah Shebaal Peh, that's the rabbis. The rabbis are telling us what they think, but it's not really from God directly. So the Torah wants us to understand that everything is from God. Mm-hmm. Also, the oral Torah is from God, mm-hmm. And where is the proof? Here. That's very nice. But now, there is another way. Why Shemitah? Why not Shabbos, for example? Why don't you put Shabbos with Mount of Sinai? Why don't you put all the other mitzvahs, or the different mitzvah? Why did the Torah try to put Dafka, this mitzvah? Is there a connection? Because, okay, you've got a very nice answer, but still I want to know, why Shemitah? Why Shemitah?
The first thing they're going to have to do is work the land. Otherwise they're not going to be a lead. So that's going to be the Jewish people's first problem of the working the land.
Yes.
In the Midbar, everything was a miracle. They didn't have to do anything.
Well, so it's comparing it
they
to
didn't
Shabbat.
Even have to wash their clothes.
Yes.
Everything was done for them. Yeah. Now, completely different.
Okay, but still...
They're going to have to work the land, otherwise they're going to starve.
So you have also sukkahs, for example.
Mm-hmm.
Sukkahs they couldn't keep in the desert. There are certain things that didn't have, because it's zecher le ananei kavod, for example. There are a lot of other mitzvahs. Yes, what did you say?
They knew from Shabbat that there were 6 days they would collect manna.
Yes.
On the sixth day, they would get double portion, and then you had to rest on the Shabbat.
Okay.
So it was
what happened on the Mount of Sinai?
What happened?
The recognition.
We received the Torah. We received the Torah. Now, what was all, let's say, what was the idea, or where did we have to go to, and what was everything leading to? Why did Kadosh Baruch Hu take Am Yisrael out of Egypt?
To give them the Torah.
That's all?
And to go to the land.
To go to the land. Now let's see what is more important. To go to the land or the Torah. What would you say?
He gave the Torah. He gave the Torah first.
So you say the Torah.
There was a blueprint how to live.
No, but you always said that you can only complete the mitzvah from the Torah in the land of Israel.
Now let's see how it's going on. The first letter in the Torah, the first word in the Torah, is talking about Eretz Israel. Bereshit. How? You remember? What was the question that Rashi brings from Rabbi Yitzchak? Why did the Torah start with telling us about the creation? Why didn't the Torah start with the first mitzvah?
Well, the creation is to tell the world that God created the world.
Yes.
And give it to whoever he wants.
In other words, what do we talk about? Eretz Israel. Koach ma'asav yigid la'amo, latet lahem nachlat goyim. He told everybody that he did everything, and he is the one, birtzono netano lahem, birtzono lekacham itam, netano lanu. When he wants, he will give it to them, and when he wants, he will take it from them and give us to us. We're not going to go to the whole discussion, but what we're going to see is that what is the first word in the Torah talking about?
Creation.
Connecting to Eretz Israel. So, what is God promising Avraham Avinu? To give him the Torah? To give him the land. What is the Kadosh Baruch Hu telling Moshe Rabbeinu when he takes to take Am Yisrael out of Egypt?
To bring them to the land.
Nothing is being talked about getting the Torah. Only in the middle it says, when you go out of Egypt, I will give you the Torah on this mountain. So in other words, when we look at this from the outside, what would we think is more important than anything?
The land.
Then, when you come to the land, what is God telling us? Veshavta ha'aret Shabbat lash. What do you think? Do you come to Eretz Israel to work the land, and that is your task in life? That is your mission? No, your mission is to make everything holy to God. So when you come to Eretz Israel, you have to understand that the whole idea is to get to this year that you, what are you doing? You stop working, and the only thing you did the whole year is learn Torah. Worship God. That's why this is a title. When you come to Eretz Israel, what is the first thing you have to understand? That this is not just another land like any land.
That is holy.
That is the holy land. And on the holy land, everything you do has to be in your mind that is for God. Veshavta ha'aret Shabbat la'Hashem. Now, when you understand this, let me explain to you how it works. 6 years, you're going to work. On the seventh year, you're going to cease working, and you're going to stop anything about working the land, and you're going to, what are you going to do in that time? You're going to learn Torah. So now we understand. What is the connection between the Mount of Sinai to Shemitah? Because on the Mount of Sinai, we got the Torah that we have to keep where? In Eretz Israel. And this is again what we said, that the combination of Am Israel, Eretz Israel, and Torah Israel That's the combination that we need. In other words, it is written in the right order, and it's unbelievable the way the Torah is using everything to teach us a lesson and another lesson. So why is it being mentioned here that it was written, that was given us on Mount of Sinai? Two reasons. One reason is that all the mitzvahs, even those that are not written very in the written Torah, but they are given to us orally by our sages, they are also from Sinai. Because this is why the Torah here is telling us the whole story. Sheshanim tizra asadecha, sheshanim tizmor karmecha, ve'asafta et vuata, u'bashabat shabat shabaton yeh la'aretz shabat shabashem, l'sadcha lo tizra, ve'karmecha lo tizmor, ve'tzfiyah ketzircha lo tikzor, ve'tanvei yizra. And it's going on to tell us all the details about the Shemitah. To tell us that the same way as this is written from the Mount of Sinai, all the other mitzvahs are. And why was this mitzvah specifically chosen? Because this is mitzvah is connected directly to the Torah. Because the Torah has to be kept in Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael is not just another land. The whole idea of Shemitah is to understand and realize that this land is not a normal land. We're not like everybody else. We are something else. We are something different.
Well, we're the only country who received how you behave before you go into a land. Everybody else goes, they either capture it, or they find it, or they discover it, and then they have to set out how they're going to live. But we're told how to live before we go into the land.
Yes. Then, when we understand the beginning of the parsha, and the Torah is telling us about the reason that we got to the land is to keep, just like the Chatam Sofer said, that there is a whole difference between somebody who keeps the mitzvahs in Eretz Yisrael to somebody who keeps the mitzvahs in Chutz La'aretz. What is the difference? In every mitzvah, you have two things. One is, God told me to do it, and I have to do it. But God doesn't tell us to do things with no reason. Even if we don't understand the reason, there must be a reason. Because God loves us, and He's not going to give us something that's got nothing to do with nothing. It must be a reason. So, because of this, all the mitzvahs that are given to us have a reason, even if we don't understand the reason. So now when we come to Eretz Yisrael and we keep the mitzvahs, and we are in... 1 minute. Okay. What did we talk about?
We came here. And we keep the mitzvahs?
We came here to keep the mitzvahs. And I forgot what...
You said before that the why here is more important.
Oh, yes. So the Chatam Sofer says that now, this is the first thing. I keep the mitzvah because God said, told me to keep it. But there is a reason. Now, the reason, in other words, there is a power in every mitzvah that I do that is working on me. And this power I can get only in one place in the world. And where is this? In Eretz Yisrael. In other words, when I keep the mitzvah abroad, in Chutz La'aretz, I get the thing that Metzuveh Ve'oseh, God ordered me to do it, I do it. It's very good. But here, I get also the inner side of the mitzvah. So if I do here the mitzvah, I'm not only doing what God told me to do, but I'm only getting the benefit of the inner power of the mitzvah that I'm doing. What they call the heolic power.
For Lemashal,
when you go in Ra'anana and you go in Jerusalem, do you feel different?
Yes.
That's what we're talking about. The feeling is the connection between the spiritual world and the physical world. And this connection you can only get in Eretz Yisrael. In other words, the mitzvah that you do here, you have this uplifting that is elevating your neshama. And this is something that makes you a better person. It helps you.
Theoretically, then, it's a psychological difference. Besides being a...
Yes.
It has to work within the mind.
Of course.
I don't know. I agree with you.
Yes.
But I think if you live in Chutz La'aretz, to keep kosher is so difficult.
Yes.
It's very difficult.
Yes.
And here it's easy.
So
you get into in a super.
Yes.
And then I think it would be more. I don't disagree with you, but
yeah.
I think that would be more important to keep Chutz La'aretz because it's, you are surrounded with goyim and with
Avodah Zarah. So you want them to get more what? More merits?
So
is that what
you're
trying to tell me?
No, I think that. It's a big
I understand what you want to say. I understand what you want to say. But it doesn't make any difference with what other I say. Because what you're saying, it's more difficult to be Jewish in Chutz La'aretz. But what I'm saying is that here you get more when you do a mitzvah. There are two different things. Difficult or easy, that's not the issue. Nobody, God doesn't want us to, let's say, to have difficult life. He wants us to have good life. But the more you get, the more you have to give. In other words, you can get here at a much higher level because while you are fighting in Chutz La'aretz for the basic thing, here we can fight about higher things.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So in other words, here you can get much more. The fight is always there. But this is depending on you. It's like you want somebody to achieve a mission. You can give him the best tools and you can give him the worst tools. So if you really want him to achieve the mission, what would you give him?
The best tools.
The best tools. So God gave us the best tool and we have, Baruch Hashem, the zchut, the merit to be here in Eretz Yisrael and get those tools. And every mitzvah we do, yes, we get much more than those who do in Chutz La'aretz, even though they have difficulties. Of course, each one of us, we cannot judge the others. The judgment is being done by God. Because from the other side, it's also an obligation. No, when it's like the same way, if you come and you live in a faraway country from the king. So nobody looks exactly what you're doing. You can do whatever you want. But when you come to the courtyard of the king, how should you behave?
Guardian.
Yes, you are more honored. You much get much more things, but you have to behave accordingly. In other words, when you come to the court of the king and you don't behave accordingly, then you have a problem. And that's exactly the point. If you remember this, when you were on Shabbos, the rabbi was talking about Torah Shebaal Peh and Torah Shebichtav. And here that's what we're talking about. Talking Torah Shebichtav, Torah Shebaal Peh. In other words, he said that we are building our Torah Shebaal Peh. In other words, there is the Torah that is written, there is the oral Torah, and he said a very interesting thing, there is the Torah that is written in the oral Torah. And there is the oral of the oral. What does it mean? What is written here is the written Torah. But what happened 100 years ago or 50 years ago is also written. This is the written of the oral. Because we did it. And at that time, they didn't know what's going to happen. And they made decisions. Sometimes they were good decisions, and sometimes they were wrong decisions. And he gave the example with Ruth HaMoaviah. When Ruth HaMoaviah wanted to become a part of Am Yisrael, and she went to Boaz, and Boaz says, there is somebody closer than to you than me, and he should marry you and take whatever it is. And the other guy didn't want to. He didn't want it because of his own reasons, if egoistic reasons. Says, I don't need this. Who then? Says, Moavi, lo Moavi, is she Jewish, not Jewish? There is a whole discussion. Who then need all these tzuros? I don't want it. And don't want it, he didn't take her. And who took her? Boaz. And what happened at the end? David HaMelech came out of more fruit. So was he right, this guy, or was he wrong?
Wrong.
He was wrong. And Boaz was right. In other words, we stand in front of decisions, and those decisions are going to be, in the future, the written of the oral. And this is going to give our children and great-great-children on the generations to come the power to act according to what we did. So now we look at truth, we know that Boaz did the right thing. And we understand that sometimes even Gentiles that come and want to be a part of Am Israel, they can be the greatest people of all. What does it have to do with today? So I must talk about it for a few minutes, but when we were in Nazareth, Elit, which is a Jewish town, connected, let's say, with a road to an Arab town, which is Nazareth Tachtit, what we heard, and I'm writing it about it also on the Daf of the Shelf this week, it was unbelievable. First of all, I must say, I got quite depressed to see how people live in Nazareth. Like they live like 100 years ago.
The Arabs? Or?
No. The Jews. Yeah. All the good people left. They were left with all the, let's say, the lowest people, and they live like in those blocks of flat that terrible. Dirty from the outside. I don't know how it's inside. There is, it's neglected.
They haven't even a konoa.
No cinema.
No cinema.
Nothing.
But are they old or young people?
No, the old people left. The old people left, and the young people, yes, and the young people are leaving. And what's happening now is, according to what he told us, is 60% are only Jewish. 20% are Arabs, and other 20% are going from who knows where from. And you think about it, it's terrible. So what do you do about it? So what are they trying to do now? They're trying to bring religion.
They have a yeshiva.
They have a yeshiva.
So wonderful.
And they're building a neighborhood for Haredim. Because they understand and realize, when you come to Eretz Israel, v'shavta aretz shabbat la'Hashem. If God is not there, it's nothing there. A Jew has to be connected to God. If he's not connected to God, it's nothing there. And this is what I personally, when I read here the Shabbat Lashem and I remembered what he said and I connected the things together, and that's what it is. Now they realize, understand that they need, what do they need? They need the tradition. They need the Emunah. Because without Emunah, without believing in God and understanding that this is a holy land, who wants to live there?
I thought Nazareth believed was inhabited with religious people originally.
Nazareth Elit today is not religious at all, let's put it this way. Buses are going on Shabbos. I don't know about the shops because there were no shops there where we were, but otherwise, no kosher restaurants.
Really?
No kosher restaurants. In other words, there is no Emunah.
He had an apartment to sell from the parents,
yes.
And he could get from Arabs
800,000
shekels, and he preferred to sell to Jewish people for 350,000.
Wow. Less than half price, and he saw did it
for Jew.
Kol hakavod. Kol hakavod.
Amazing.
And he's not a thief.
The rabbi, the chief rabbi of Nazareth, they have somebody like this, lives on the right side an Arab house and on the left side an Arab house.
On purpose.
Not on purpose. Every house that gets vacated, if you want to sell, the first customers are Arabs. He says a joke that they tell in Nazareth Elit, yes? Says a joke, if there were two neighbors, they wanted to sell their house. They had the similar house. One was an Arab, the other one was a Jew. The one was called Muhammad, and the other one was called Abraham. And when they put it on the market, they did copy each other what they was doing to in order to make it nice. This one put a new fence, he put a new fence. Eventually, who sold first, you think?
Yeah.
The Arab sold first.
Yeah.
The Jew couldn't understand. How did the Arab sell first?
He sold to another
Arab. The only customers are Arabs. Also for the Jew, the customers that came were Arabs. So he couldn't understand why the Muhammad sold his house before he sold it. So he said, well, how is this? You see, when people come to you and they ask you, who is your neighbor? You say, Muhammad. When they come to me, I say, Avram is my neighbor. It's funny, but not funny. Unfortunately, that's the situation. And it's terrible. And when I look at it, I say, how did he get to this situation? So first of all, now they understand and realize they need religion. They read the religious people there because they are the only one who understand the holiness of the country of Eretz Israel. All the others don't care. They don't care where they live. They can also live going abroad. So I got quite depressed. But the question is, the real question is, what do we do about it? Because, you know, it's very nice to talk about it and to say, oh, it's difficult, but we really should do something about it. Everybody with whatever he can. And the most terrible thing that I understood is that when we look at what's going on there, standing there at the hill and seeing all around the Arabs and understand that in this town, which is a Jewish town, you have 40% not Jewish people. This is exactly what's going to happen to Eretz Israel if you don't take it in our hands. The same story. It was like in a small thing, looking at the big thing. It's about seeing it in micro. Seeing, this is the picture. In Jaffa, in Akko, Haifa, it's all full with Arabs. The whole Galil is Arab. So from this point of view, I think that's what God is telling us. Daber el bnei Israel v'amarta alehem. Ki tavou el haaretz asher ani noten lachem v'shavta haaretz shabbat la'ashem. You have to understand and realize, why are we here? We here to use the tools that God gave us and worship God. And do good. And the first thing, the basic thing is Ve'ahavta le'racha kamocha. And again I'm coming to it. Because if we haven't got Ve'ahavta le'racha kamocha, nobody is going to make any notice about those poor people that live in Nasrat or in any other place. If I only look on myself, because I am the important guy, I don't care about all the others. So it's very interesting. When we said "Vahavta le'racha kamocha," I learned a new thing. I knew it, but a psychiatrist came to me and told me an unbelievable thing. He says the worst problem today in people that are sick, they go to the psychiatrist, is that they don't love themselves. And if you don't love yourself, you definitely cannot love nobody. So what is the Torah telling us? Ve'ahavta le're'acha kamocha. You should love your fellow man like you love yourself. In other words, first of all, love yourself. Then you can love others. And that is very risky. And that's exactly the idea of Sfirat HaOmer. You count to yourself. You're building yourself in order to get to the point that we get the Torah. And the important thing is to understand, when you build yourself, you're not alone. Yes, you don't give up your own abilities, your own ego. No. You build it, but you build it together with everybody as a part of the klal. That is the idea. So in other words, you have to love yourself the first thing because you are a creation of God. God created you. But when you love yourself, what is the next thing? ואהבתה לרעך כמוך. The same way you love yourself, you should love your fellow man. And as we said, I must say it again. Because he also said, one of the reasons that at the Holocaust, for example, before the Holocaust, there was this, and still today, there is a part of the Jewish nation that don't come to Eretz Israel. They say, we wait for the Mashiach. And you see, this is exactly the same idea of Sfirat HaOmer. This, the rabbi also mentioned it. Because you see, it depends how you look at things. You can say, I count to the Omer, and the main thing is that I get to Matan Torah. In other words, the time between Erev Pesach, the second night of Pesach, and to Shavuos, is just a waiting time. In other words, the Mashiach will come, I'm waiting. I'm sitting and waiting. But Sfirat HaOmer is not about waiting. Sfirat HaOmer is about building, moving, doing. That's why every day is a special day to build another thing, another level, to elevate yourself. That is the idea. It's not just waiting. If you're going to wait, it's not going to come to you. And when it's going to come, you're not going to get it. Today. What do you think? Somebody is going to get the Torah if he didn't prepare himself? No! He's going to stand there, yes. But he's not going to have any influence on him. The same way is, if you sit abroad and you don't move because you're waiting for the Mashiach, it's an idea, maybe. I'm waiting. They told me to wait. I'm waiting for the Mashiach. But if you're waiting for the Mashiach doing nothing, that's exactly counting Sfirat HaOmer as a normal, okay, 1 day, 2 day, 3 day, 4 day, but no meaning. Nothing is going to happen.
I mean that I don't count. I count the reading.
Yes.
The midot.
So?
Portuguese.
So?
No, I think it's so important because each thing is so like building, like there is the exercise, what to do each day.
Yes.
And I send to my children always their WhatsApp. I don't know, they don't answer me, but I send them the today it was Netzach the Netzach, and then I say what is it and what is the exercise to do today. And each day I send them this.
Very good.
And this is
everybody has to do. You see, it's you don't have to talk about big things. Those are the small things that build big things. Every big thing is being built from small things. That's exactly the idea of Sfirat HaOmer. You cannot come, okay, I want to get the Torah. No, you have to prepare yourself. You have to be ready to get the Torah. In other words, you want the Mashiach to come. You're waiting for the Mashiach. You have to do something while you're waiting. And if it's coming to Eretz Yisrael and helping to build the country, yes, that's what you should do. You can also help from there, I'm not saying. But to sit and do nothing, and that exactly we can also connect to what's happening in Nazareth. If you sit and do nothing, what's going to happen?
Nothing.
No, and it will be happening. We will.
The worst thing is going to happen. And that's the way we should look at it. If you don't do anything, not only you are not going to get to the Mashiach, you're going to get even worse. You're going to bring Am Yisrael to a disaster.
Yeah.
And it happened in our history, unfortunately.
A few times.
So I think that what we should do is, each one of us, to understand and realize this big zchut that we got. Ki tavo el haaretz. We came here. And you know, sometimes people say, we have to wait for the Mashiach. So I'm saying, I want to understand. Does anything move in this world without God wanting it to happen? Does it? No. So if we are here, what do you think? God wants it or doesn't want it?
He wants it.
If he doesn't want it, there won't be a Medina here, won't be a state, there won't be anything here.
Gadi, explain me something. Someone told me that, I don't remember the name, there is Karnei Shomron, there is Shomron.
Yes.
In one of
no, Karnei Shomron is a place.
Okay. In one of these cities,
Yes.
They don't do Yom Ha'atzmaut. There is no flex, there is no...
Karnei Shomron.
I say there is Karnei Shomron and near Karnei Shomron. What there is?
Don't know.
Shomron or Mashk?
No.
But it's near.
Emmanuel?
No.
No.
There is no flex.
Why?
A friend of mine passed in the city that I don't remember.
Haredim or?
Haredim. But there is no flex and there is no. If it's Eretz Israel, yes. Because they don't believe that this is Eretz Israel.
No.
What you said.
They believe that it is Eretz Israel, but don't believe in the state. There is a difference. You have to understand.
This is
another problem. Waiting because they are here.
No, they
don't agree with what the state is doing. The point is, I also not agree with a lot of things the state is doing, but it doesn't mean that I cannot say thank you to God that He brought me here and we have a state. Because there are two different things. So the real truth is, and I must say it and before we end this lesson, I must... Ponovitch Yeshiva, at the first years, only recently they stopped it. Every year on Yom Ha'atzmaut, there was a flag of Israel on the Yeshiva. A fact that nobody talks about, but that's a fact. And in the first 2 years, I think, they also kept Yom Ha'atzmaut. But then what happened? They saw where the country is going and they decided that they have to fight against it. So they thought about how they're going to fight against it, and they realized that the only way that they understand, the wrong or right, I'm not saying, but they got to the decision that they're just not going to participate with all those things. That's when they stopped with Yom Ha'atzmaut. When the country was built, in the beginning, everybody had Yom Ha'atzmaut. Unfortunately, they looked at the state and says, this is not what we wanted. They are going against the religion. And it's
How
no
about
good.
Being recipients of the state, they refuse that too?
I'm saying that what I'm saying is, I'm not saying right or wrong. I'm saying the facts. Yeah. But we have to put them in the right... We have to understand that the Haredim, first of all, didn't go against the state when it was established. Only later, when they realized where it's going. And also today, not all the Haredim are like this. There are only the minority of them that really act in the opposite way. Most of the religion people in Eretz Israel do say thank you every day on what we've got. And I think that even those who don't say, this is not for us a reason to go against them. It's a reason for us to find a way to let them understand and realize what we've got here. And in this way, maybe they will realize that they do have to say thank you. Because there were never ever in the history of Am Yisrael so many yeshivas, so many synagogues, so many kosher places, kosher restaurants. And on this, we have to say thank you. Even if you're ultra, ultra, ultra Orthodox. I've got a relation, is a chasatmer chosid, with payas like this, and he is nahak tovala. He is a driver in, I don't know how to say tovala in English, with the big trucks. And he was the first one to go into Lebanon, and the last one to go out of Lebanon. Because they take all the big tanks in and out. And he looks Haredi, is a Haredi, and he fights. And he's in the army. And he's happy about it. So for us, it's very easy, as I wrote, I think a week ago, 2 weeks ago, it's very easy for us, a week ago I told the story, it's very easy for us to look at the bad side, at what we haven't got. Let's look at what we do have.
Yeah. Yeah.
And try and love each other. And when we do this, understand this land is Shabbat LaHashem. The emunah, the believing in God, is the basic of this country, of this state. And if we go according to the laws of the Torah, everything is going to change. And we get to the Geula, Bezrat Hashem, Bimera Bi'Ameinu Amen.